Alpha Amara. Chapter 11. Delia. Amara. Alpha Mason of Rock Moon Pack finally called that his brother was on his way. He had been unable to sneak out of the pack's territory as their neighbors had kept a close eye on everyone that entered or exited the territory. Delia had turned 18 the day before she fled to Rock Moon Pack, and a chosen mate had been her father's birthday gift. Mom has already prepared a room for her, and knowing she didn't take much with her, I asked Mom to go shopping for Delia. I didn't have to ask her that twice. Alastair helped Mom to get her room ready, and the only thing missing right now is its occupant. We have 4 more days until the Alpha Bloodline competition, and I hope that the goddess has heard everyone's prayers. They want me to kick those nitwits out of the competition in the first round. Melia finally told me that I would be fighting the males I wanted to humiliate in the first round. She explained to us how she was able to pull it off. I just hope her cousin doesn't get caught in the process. It turns out that her cousin works for the elders, and he was more than willing to help Melia out, helping me out at the same time. My very first match would be against Damien, as Melia thought it was best he didn't get the chance to see me fight, and I smile as I try to imagine the look on his face when he realizes what he threw away. Ione and Melia's fathers have agreed to look after the pack, to give their daughters the chance to see me kick some ass. The rumor mill says that Alpha Theseus and his highest ranking wolves will accompany Damien, while his father looks after the pack for him. I still see the shocked look on his face when I glared at him, full of anger and hate for what his baby brother did to me and Minerva. I doubt Damien told Theseus or anyone else the truth about his mate, but unfortunately for Damien, the elders know what he did and how he did it, as Dad sent them a copy of the footage. Movement in front of me pulls me from my thoughts, and I can see that Eos is eager to say something. She heaves a sigh as I keep staring at her, and she asks if I want to humiliate Damien even more than just kicking his ass. I ask her what she has in mind, and my first reaction is to ask her if she lost her mind, but Ione tells me to hear her out. As Eos explains to me what she has in mind, I understand that this is something she has been working on for a long time. This isn't a spur of the moment kind of thing, and I tell her I need to sleep on it. Alpha, there is a warrior from Rock Moon Pack at the gate. He says you're expecting him. Miles links me, and I tell him to send him to the pack house. Mom, Dad, and Alastair are already waiting on the front porch as I step outside, and a few minutes later an SUV comes to a stop in front of us. Alastair takes a step forward as soon as the door opens. He knows why Delia is joining our pack, and I guess that is why he isn't rushing towards her. None of us moves as Alastair slowly walks down the steps, but to his surprise, Delia doesn't waste time as she rushes towards him and jumps into his arms. Dad walks towards the SUV to talk to Alpha Mason's brother, and Mom has a huge grin on her face with tears in her eyes. Alastair. My wolf has been acting strange all morning. He keeps telling me something big is going to happen, but he can't tell me what that is. I am inches away from pulling up my block when Mom tells me that Delia has finally arrived. When Amara told us about Delia and the birthday present her father had for her, I nearly lost control of Max. We have never met Delia, but we both hate it when a male treats a female that way, and I hope I never run into her father, as I might not be able to control Max. What I didn't expect was to smell this intoxicating scent as the door of the SUV opened. Realizing who it had to be, I walked towards her carefully, and I let her decide how this is going to play out. Max howls in my head the moment she jumps into my arms as her lips connect with mine. I don't waste a moment as I turn on my heel and head back into the pack house. I run up the stairs with my mate in my arms. Her head is buried in my neck, and her giggles tickle my skin, making me growl softly. Once we are in my room, I put Delia down on the floor and I gently cup her face, pulling her close for a breathtaking kiss. I gently bite her lower lip, and as she gasps, I snake my tongue into her mouth, turning her head a little to deepen the kiss. I slowly break the kiss to start kissing a trail down to her neck, and when I reach the spot where I will mark her, I suck on it hard, a soft moan escaping her lips. My hands travel from her hips towards her breasts, and the closer I get, the heavier her breathing becomes. Delia pushes her body closer to mine as my hands cup her breasts, and my cock grows harder as her hips buck forward, Slowly I start to walk towards the bed until the back of her legs hit it. I slowly push her down on the bed as I place one knee next to her and I attack her mouth again for a passionate kiss. Max howls as we both smell the scent of her arousal and I remove one hand of her breast to place it on her core. I press my hand down as I move it up and down, making her breathing become labored and as I watch her face I see her getting closer to her orgasm. I start rubbing up and down her core faster and it doesn't take long before she screams her release. I slow down my movements as she is coming down from her high. I keep kissing her as we start to remove the other's clothing and in minutes we are both naked. Our hands are roaming the other's body and as one of her hands comes closer to my cock it grows harder than it has ever been. Delia wraps her fingers around my shaft and I push my cock into her closed hand, my own hand disappearing between her thighs. I slowly slide one finger into her soaking wet pussy, slowly thrusting it in and out and slowly I add a second finger. She feels so tight and warm around my fingers and I pick up the pace a little as she starts stroking my cock faster, both of us a groaning and moaning mess in a matter of minutes. Delia guides my cock towards her entrance and I slowly pull my fingers out to accommodate my mate, placing my cock against her entrance. Sweetheart, this will sting, but I promise it will ease. I whisper in her ear as I push my cock into her in one go and then I hold still to let her body adjust. The moment I feel her relax I slowly pull my cock back, only to push it back into her again and I see her fisting the covers as I keep moving in and out of her. Her hips start moving up to meet every one of my thrusts into her core, I suck on her marking spot again and she releases a loud moan. Please. I can't. Please. I can't hold it, she whispers before she clamps down on my cock and she becomes tighter the more I push into her. I know I am close to my own orgasm as well and I know exactly how to push her over the edge. I pull her head close to my neck as I feel my canines elongate and I feel her teeth scrap my skin as she finds my marking spot. I bury my cock deep inside her as my canines penetrate her skin and we both come undone as she bites down on my neck. Collapsing on the bed next to her I pull her into my side and kiss the top of her head. She places her arm over my stomach and lifts her head to look at me, I think I am at a disadvantage at the moment. She says with a smile on her face and I know exactly what she means. Sorry Delia. I had a few other things on my mind, my name is Alastair and the brother of our Alpha. I say before devouring her lips again. She moves up my body and soon we lose ourselves again in hot steaming lovemaking. I hate to disturb you, but you have already missed lunch and are about to miss dinner. Beside, Mom wants to see her daughter. Amara says through the mind link and at that moment both our stomachs decided to agree with my sister. Sweetheart, my sister just linked me that if we want to put some food into our stomachs we have to get dressed and head downstairs. She also mentioned that Mom wants to see you. I say as I pull her of the bed with me, we quickly clean ourselves up and get dressed to head down to dinner. How many siblings do you have? Delia asks and when I tell her I have one sibling she looks at me in confusion. You said you're the brother of the Alpha and you just told me that your sister linked you, I believe that is two siblings. She says and I chuckle at her words. Delia, that would be correct if our Alpha had been a male. I say and it takes her a second or two before it sinks in, your sister is the Alpha. I see the shock on her face and I start to wonder in what kind of pack she was born, even though I know there are a lot of Alphas that would not allow their daughter to take over. Yes, Amara is our Alpha. She is the firstborn and therefore she took over from our dad 5 years ago. Her beta, gamma, and deltas are also firstborn and female. I answer her and her eyes go even wider. Delia, I hope my brother didn't tell you too many bad things about me. I hear Amara teasingly say and we both stare at Delia in shock as she bows her head and turns her eyes towards the floor. Alpha Amara Chapter 12 Culture Shock. Chapter 12 Culture Shock. Amara. I am shocked, confused, and stunned as I look at my brother's mate, Delia. She has her head bowed with her eyes on the floor, a sign of respect to high-ranking werewolves and Lycans and something tells me in this case it is not a sign of respect but one of fear. Delia, I want you to look at me. I say and I wait until she lifts her head up to look at me. I am nothing more than you, without my pack members I can't be an alpha and I treat every member with respect. I am not sure if I want to know the story behind your behavior, but when you are ready I will listen to you. What I want you to remember is that using my title and a small bow of your head is enough to show your respect. In my office or on the alpha floor you call me by my name, after all you are my sister-in-law. I say. Delia looks at me with tears in her eyes and I pull her in my arms for a hug as I link Alastair to keep Max under control. Mom is standing at the bottom of the stairs with Dad and the looks on their faces shows me that they heard and saw everything. Dad, please calm down. When Delia is ready she will tell us how she was raised and until that day we will show her how we treat our pack members. I run this pack the same way you and Grandpa have always done and Delia will find out that there are many more ways to run a pack. Now, let us go to the dining room to get some food, I believe these two needed to build some stamina. I say and Alastair growls at me while Delia turns slightly red. I follow Alastair and Delia down the stairs and I see Delia stiffen as Dad gives her a hug. Ione, who sees it happen, gives me a questioning look and through the mind link I tell her that Delia was raised in a very different way from our upbringing. Ione just nods her head and introduces herself to Delia. Alastair growls when Ione links her arm with Delia and pulls her towards the dining room. Delia is surprised to see so many of our pack in the dining room and I tell Alastair through the mind link to stay close to her. I have this feeling her former pack makes it known that if you are not of a high rank you don't matter. I don't know if I want to know what else they are about. We sit down for dinner and I link everyone to do as they normally do, to show Delia that our pack is very different from the one she was born in. Melia asks if Delia knows what the Alpha Bloodline competition is and after she nods her head Alastair tells her that I am entering. He tells her he will explain everything when they are back in their room, because the reason behind my entry of the competition is a sensitive one and best not discussed over dinner. But we will watch her play capture the flag before we return to our room. Alastair says and Delia turns a bright red color. Eos tells her why I play the game and that we do it 3 times a day, twice with warriors and once with the pups. The pups love playing that game and if it were up to them we would be playing it 24/7. Rhea comments, but we all know that it is the truth. Delia tells us that the alpha of her former pack and his son will also be entering. Alpha Mason never told me the name of that pack and I ask her if she can tell me the name of her former pack. We all start laughing after she tells us the name of her former pack and Delia looks at us with a confused look on her face. At least now I understand your behavior and I can guarantee you that I will kick his ass if I have to fight him in the competition. I say as only Ione, Melia, Eos, and Rhea know about the draw and I am not about to reveal this to anyone else. Delia asks if I ever met him, but I to tell her I never did. I only spoke to him once over the phone after I took over from Dad and it wasn't a pleasant conversation, he asked Dad if he had lost his mind. That a female's place was out of the public's eye, preferably barefoot and pregnant. That a female shouldn't be allowed to speak unless she was asked a question and to obey every order given to her. I say and Dad and Alastair still have trouble controlling their wolves at the memory of that conversation. Delia nods her head and I know she will be shocked with our way of living for a while, the way our males treat females is so different from what she is used to. Alastair pulls her onto his lap, Delia, I am nothing like the males in your former pack and neither is any male here. You are allowed to speak your mind and you don't have to do anything you are not comfortable with, no one will ask you to. You are my maid, not my slave. Alastair says as he looks into her eyes, hoping she can see that he is being truthful with her. I'll try to remember, Alastair. It is just difficult to let go of something that has been normal for 18 years, just tell me when I am doing something wrong. She whispers. Delia. Dad says to get her attention. You can never do something wrong, but we will let you know when you do something that is not necessary. She smiles at Dad as she nods her head and I have a feeling she will adjust to our way of life faster than she thinks, right now. She is still sitting on Alastair's lap and she seems comfortable enough to stay there for as long as she can. I am glad Alastair found his fated mate and I know that he will do whatever he has to keep her safe. She will have a family that cares about her for who she is and not what she can get or give us, like her father. I ask Eos through the mind link to find out if her father will be there or not. Eos will have that answer for me before we turn in for the night and once I know the answer I will ask Delia if she wants to come to the competition or not, the choice will be hers and hers alone. However, I would love to see the look on the moron's face when he finds out who she is mated to. On our way over the girls discuss the males from Dark Mountain Pack again and Delia asks me who they are talking about, Alpha Theseus, his Beta Ajax, his Gamma Apollo and his Deltas Xanthos and Midas. They sometimes watch as we play capture the flag in the clearing between our packs. I respond. Rhea pulls Delia next to her and starts telling her about the males and what they look like, her remark on how hot they look makes Alastair growl. Mom tells him to behave, that Delia will only have eyes for him and it calms him down enough to stop growling. It is funny to see Alastair as he never was really obsessed with finding his mate and he is the first of us to get his happily ever after. I wonder how long it will take before Mom brings up the subject of pups and with that I mean grand pups, I know she would like to have them sooner than later. Rhea halts right in front of me as she is looking across the clearing and I see Alpha Theseus standing with his arms crossed in front of his chest, his legs spread as his eyes are locked on me. I don't pay it much more attention than that as I tell Eos and Rhea to get the warriors ready. No one calls me by name as we don't want them to know who I am, I doubt they actually read the notifications from the council to inform them of my father stepping down and I never had to call their pack to inform them personally as we don't have an alliance with them. I know why Theseus' father tore up the alliance all those years ago, but I doubt he ever told anyone the truth about it and a small part of me even thinks he never told anyone he tore it up. My father and I are still waiting for the day that Alpha Theseus asks for our help and we get to tell him there is no alliance anymore. His eyes follow me wherever I go as I am evading the warriors, it doesn't bother me as much as I had thought and I ask myself the question why that is. However, Minerva and I don't have an answer to that question. Like last time I take a bow in their direction after I have defeated our warriors, keeping my eyes on Alpha Theseus the entire time and this time I don't show him the anger and hatred. I actually smile at him and I have to stifle a smile as I see a confused look on his face. Eos steps next to me with my jacket in her hand and I see a disappointed look on his face when I pull it on, before I turn around to head back to our territory. Alastair and Delia are waiting for me and Delia has a strange look on her face as I walk towards her, how the hell, she whispers. As we walk back to the pack house Dad tells her about my childhood, about my temper that I could barely control until I turned 16 and he tells her about the event that changed our border patrols. She is in total shock as she finds out that females train and that we even have a lot of female warriors. Alpha Amara Chapter 13 Moving. Chapter 13 Moving. Theseus. After 2 days of searching through the files, we still hadn't found the alliance contract we have with White Crescent Pack and I wanted to call my father into my office to demand answers from him. Ajax told me to ask Alpha Atlas at the Alpha Bloodline competition as he doesn't trust my father to give us the truth. We left the contracts out on my desk and with only 2 more days till the competition I decide to look through them on more time. I look through all the alliance contracts in front of me and I realize there are a few I didn't know we had an alliance with. Making me wonder why my father never told me about these. I link my men to meet in my private office to tell my men what I found and they don't have an answer for me as well, but again Ajax tells me to approach them at the competition. Looks like I am going to have a very busy day ahead of me during the first day of the competition. I walk into the dining room looking at the chair next to mine, a chair that remains empty until the day I find my second chance mate and for the first time since losing my first mate I actually hope to meet her soon. Penelope walks in with Damien and Joseph and for a moment I think she will leave me alone tonight. Theseus, have you made sleeping arrangements for us during the competition? She asks as she puts her hand on my arm and Damien doesn't show anything as he watches us. I sit down in my seat and Penelope is about to pull back the chair next to mine, but she releases it the moment my men start to growl. Penelope, Ajax made all the arrangements. The hotel is run by a werewolf who only takes reservations from packs that are invited to the competition. I say as I see that Damien gets a mind link and the paling of his face tells me that Apollo warned him to keep Penelope in check. We will leave the day before the competition starts, we will arrive there somewhere in the afternoon and Damien will be well rested before his first fight. I say as I look at Penelope and she nods her head as Damien tells her to take her seat. During dinner Damien and Penelope talk about the competition, while my men and I talk through our mind link and Midas tells me that Penelope's eyes wander in my direction every now and then. I quickly finish my dinner to excuse myself and retreat to my private office. One of my warriors links me that the neighbors are back again and I actually chuckle at the phrase he uses. I contemplate on whether I should go or not, but I decide to stay in my office to get some work done. Work I don't want my father to get involved in during my absence, just because I don't trust him with it. After I took over from my father it took me a few months to realize that he had been mismanaging the pack's finances, it had taken me 3 years to rebuild our business and another 2 years to expand it. We were back to where we were when Grandpa was still in charge, we were a strong, large, and wealthy pack. Expect my men, no one knows how close my father brought us to bankruptcy and that is the reason I will leave the business side of things in the hands of Ajax's younger brother. He has helped me all these years rebuilding the business and I trust him with it completely. When I asked him to take care of business for a few days he told me to take as long as I wanted, that he would make sure everything would be taken care of and I know that he will do just that. I told him I expected to be back the day after the competition started, and he said he was with me on Damien's chances. I hope Damien will do better than any of us expect, but knowing Damien he will definitely be dropped after round two. He thinks that being of the Alpha bloodline means you don't have to train, but no matter what Ajax and I have tried over the years he still doesn't believe us. Ajax walks into my office and tells me that my father is setting up a huge screen in the ballroom, he wants the entire pack to watch Damien's fight. I even heard him say he wants to cancel Border Patrol that day. I look up at Ajax and I see he is actually serious. He follows me down the stairs and Apollo is waiting for the both of us at the bottom of the stairs and I hear my father arguing with Midas and Xanthos. They probably heard him as well and decided to set him straight on canceling Border Patrol, not that he would listen to them. Father, if I find out you canceled Border Patrol I will banish you from the pack. Am I making myself clear? I growl at him and even though he is from an Alpha bloodline he no longer is an actual Alpha, he has no other choice but to follow the order I give him. My mother doesn't look too pleased either and I give her a warning growl, she knows exactly what I mean by it as she lowers her head. I call Apollo's father over and tell him that he is responsible for Border Patrol while we are at the competition, he nods his head in understanding. I know I can count on him to keep our borders protected and I know he will do everything to keep our pack safe, just as he has done while he was my father's Gamma. I ask one of the Omegas if there is anything they need to get the ballroom ready and she tells me they are a few seats short. Xanthos nods his head before he walks out of the room and I look around the ballroom to see that the big screen is already up, chairs and couches are set up. There were large pillows on the floor for the pups to sit on. It looked really cozy in here and I knew a lot would be watching the matches as much as they could. After leaving the ballroom I walk back up to my floor and I scare the shit out of an Omega as I open my bedroom door, sorry, Alpha. I didn't hear you coming in, I am almost ready packing your bag. She says, holding her headphone in her hand. No problem, Jeanette. Is everyone's luggage ready? I ask and I see her eyes glaze over before she nods her head at me. Thank you for packing my clothes. Do you have the rest of the night off? I ask and she looks at me a little confused. What do you mean, Alpha? She asks as she looks really uncomfortable and I shake my head, sorry, Jeanette. I meant nothing by it, I know it took everyone a long time to realize I was not like my father. I was just curious if it was your night off. I explain. Sorry, Alpha. I know you have been in charge for almost a decade, but your father still doesn't like the changes you made, and when you are out of the pack house he still treats us like dirt. Jeanette says, and I ask her to tell me about my father's behavior when I am not around. Turns out my father still mistreats our Omegas when my men and I are out of the pack house, but he makes sure he doesn't leave bruises in plain sight, and I growl lowly as she tells me what my father has done in the past decade. I ask her to finish packing my luggage and then she can take the rest of the night off. My office, now, I growl through the mind link at my men and I know they will be there within seconds. Who the hell pissed you off? Midas asks as he sees me pacing in front of the window. They know me well enough to know that hell is about to break loose and they are waiting for me to start talking. I tell them about my interaction with Jeanette, and when I tell them that my father is still treating the Omegas like dirt, they growl as menacingly as I had. I want warriors in the pack house at all times, whether we are here or not. Apollo, I want the second floor to become the floor for unmated warriors, and I want them to know about what my father has been doing to the Omegas. According to Jeanette, he even tried to force a few of them to sleep with him, but each of them refused him, and they always make sure they are paired up every time we leave the pack house. If he keeps trying to undermine me, I will banish him from the pack house, see if he and mother can manage on their own. I say. Half an hour later, Apollo links me to meet him at the training grounds, and I quickly make my way out of the pack house to meet up with Apollo. Alpha, these warriors are all informed about your father's behavior and they will be moving into the pack house in the morning. This is Simon and he has something to tell you. Apollo says as he points at a warrior standing next to Josh. I nod my head at Simon and I tell him to speak. Alpha, during the last full moon I found my fated mate, but your father told me you wouldn't allow me to claim her. He says, and I just stare at him for a few minutes. Simon, a fated mate is the best thing for a Lycan or a werewolf. I will never stand between fated mates and I will never forbid someone to claim their fated mate. I know how my father feels about fated mates and I am the total opposite on that subject. Who is the lucky lady? I say. Jeanette, Alpha. He responds and I ask him how she feels about all this. I know she has trouble dealing with it, Alpha. She knows I want to be with her, but she refuses as she is afraid you will get angry as your father told her you would. He answers me. Jeanette, can you come to the training grounds, please? I ask her through the mind link and she tells me she will be there in a minute. The moment she sees all of us, a scared look crosses her face and I see her looking at Simon in fear. Jeanette, Simon tells me you are his fated mate. Is this true? I ask her. Yes, Alpha. She whispers with her head bowed. Jeanette, please look at me, I say, and slowly she lifts her head to meet my eyes. Do you accept Simon as your mate, Jeanette? I ask, and I am glad that no one says a word or I would not have heard her affirmative answer. Jeanette, how many rooms on the second floor are ready for someone to stay in? I ask her and she tells me there are 12 rooms ready at all times, that they keep them clean as they have been ordered to do so by my father. Josh, pick 11 men that will move in tonight with you. The rest of you can find yourself a room in the morning. Jeanette, I assume you won't have a problem with Simon staying with you. I am moving unmated warriors onto the second floor to make sure you and the other Omegas are protected. I say, and a smile appears on her face. Thank you, Alpha. Those that will move in tomorrow can expect me and the other Omegas to help them in any way we can. She responds. Simon doesn't waste time as he lifts her in his arms and walks back towards the pack house. Josh has selected 11 warriors to move into the pack house with him tonight. They leave the training grounds to gather their belongings from the warrior house before they head to the pack house. Alpha Amara Chapter 14 Secrets. Chapter 14 Secrets. Damien. I am listening to the annoying voice of my mate as we are driving towards the location of the Alpha Bloodline competition. My mind drifts back to the day we met. I had snuck across the borders of White Crescent Pack as they were having a party and we hadn't gotten an invitation. The party was on the night before the full moon and that meant I would be able to find my mate if she was there. Penelope had caught my eye the moment I saw her and even my wolf was pleased with her. My brother and I had been raised to treasure the mate bond, to treasure our fated mate. My wolf and I didn't like the idea of being tied to one woman and for that reason we wanted a chosen mate, but my brother and our grandparents would not like it if I would reject my fated mate to choose a mate like our parents had done. I had just turned 22 and still hadn't found my fated mate, so my wolf and I decided to take a chosen mate and we would tell everyone she was my fated mate. Penelope kept looking at me as I looked around the party and from time to time I could smell this intoxicating smell, but it was gone before I could trace it. An alpha I was talking to pointed at Penelope and told me she was his daughter, the woman my wolf and I were interested in was an alpha's daughter. This evening was getting better by the minute and when the alpha asked me if I would take his daughter as my chosen mate, I decided to tell him the truth. Alpha, my family wants me to wait for my fated mate. I am not so sure I want to wait for her any longer and my current lifestyle might have something to do with that. I answered him and he told me that if I stayed faithful to his daughter until she had a pup, I could live my life the way I wanted after that. I thought about it for a moment and I told the alpha I would take Penelope as my chosen mate, but we had to tell everyone that she was my fated mate. Penelope came over as soon as her father looked at her and we quickly tell her that I will take her as a chosen mate, but that she is to tell everyone that we are fated mates. Penelope had been to this pack before and knew where their guest rooms were, so we snuck into the pack house to seal the deal as chosen mates. The intoxicating scent I had smelled earlier was strong inside the pack house and Penelope pulled me to the right as we reached the first floor. She walked all the way to the end of the hallway to open a door on our right and the moment we are inside she jumped into my arms, I pushed her up against the closed door. I grinded my rock-hard cock against her core and in seconds I could smell her arousal, making my cock become even harder. We kept grinding against one another as the room filled with the smell of her arousal and as I put my hand under her dress I felt that her panties were soaking wet. I asked her if she was still a virgin and as she shook her head I pulled my cock out of my pants, slamming hard into her pussy. She had cried out in pleasure as I had started pounding her hard and in mere minutes we both had come hard. I had taken her to the bed for round two with her on her back and again I hadn't taken it slow, but she didn't seem to mind at all. My wolf and I had been ready for round three in minutes and I had pulled her up on all fours to take her from behind. I was pounding into her soaking wet pussy when the door had opened and I had smelled the scent of my fated mate, without thinking twice I had rejected her as I was still fucking Penelope. My rejection was accepted within seconds and I fell to the ground in pain, Penelope was quickly by my side. She told me we had to mark one another for the pain to stop and as she lowered herself onto my still rock hard cock I pulled her closer, we marked each other as she was riding my cock. Penelope had been right, because after marking her I felt a lot better and I fucked her a few more times before we were finally done. I only told my father where I had met Penelope, but even he doesn't know that she is not my fated mate. The first few months with Penelope had been amazing and even my horny wolf had been satisfied with one woman for a while, but when she had gotten pregnant with Joseph everything changed. Penelope had no longer been interested in having sex and I had started looking elsewhere to get satisfied. After Joseph had been born Penelope had started to come to me again, but I no longer had a real interest in her. I had just used her whenever my wolf I had the need for release and she happened to be the closest, other than that we had lost all interest in our mate. The only good thing that had come from my relationship with Penelope was Joseph and my ticket to the position of alpha. If my brother were to die before he met his second chance mate, Joseph would be next in line to become alpha and if he was not old enough yet then I would have to take over until he was old enough. I don't think my brother is aware of the fact that I want his title, but I also know that I cannot challenge him for the title. Penelope pulls me from my thoughts by pushing against my arm, "Babe, we are almost at the hotel and don't forget my brother wants to see you." she says. I give her a small smile as I don't want her to wonder why I am happy to go see her brother, and no, I am not gay. Her brother, Harvard, also has a chosen mate and they have a very interesting love life as he likes to watch her being with another man or to share her with another man. Penelope and I had been together for over a year when we went to visit her family and I was surprised when her sister-in-law showed an interest in me. She had lured me to a room on the second floor and I almost peed my pants when Harvard had walked into the room, but he told me he was just there to watch. Jane had stripped naked in front of me and she had gotten down on her knees as she opened my pants, she took my cock out to suck it into her mouth. My wolf and I had loved every second of it and after she had sucked me dry Harvard asked if I was willing to share his mate with him. The moment I nodded my head Harvard had grabbed his mate and pulled her to the floor with him. She was riding his cock as his hand slid down her back and he had pulled her butt cheeks apart, telling me to take her hard. I didn't hesitate a second and pushing my cock into her back door was the best feeling ever. During that visit and every visit since Harvard and I have been sharing his mate, Jane is always soaking wet and she loves it when one of us takes her by surprise. I have watched the two of them going at it a few times and each time I would stroke my own cock until I came with them. After that first time I realized I liked taking a woman in her ass and it took me a while to find out that no woman in our pack was willing to let me. However, I found an Omega cleaning our room one day and she was on her knees gather some of Joseph's toys. Father made sure our Omegas wore dresses, because he told us it looked good for visitors. I found out at the age of 12 that he wanted them to wear dresses so he could do to them what he wanted easier and that day I was grateful that my brother never changed that rule. I had been real quiet as I took my cock out of my pants while I kept my eyes on the Omega and by the time she realized I was there it was too late for her to react. I had ripped her panties and grabbed her hips as my cock was pushed against her back door. Her pleas and screams only turned me on even more and I had forced myself on her. I told her if she ever told anyone I would kill her and if she valued her life she would come to me whenever I told her to. I still enjoy taking her as she still screams every time I take her, but nowadays she screams in pleasure. Penelope had told Harvard I was going to compete and he had just sent me a text one day, Jane can't wait to see you again. The only thing I asked of him was to get me something I couldn't get without anyone starting to ask questions and he told me Jane would be more than happy to get it for me. My mate doesn't know about my little Omega and as long as she can keep me happy I don't need anyone else to satisfy my needs. She know what I want to do to her and even though she is not sure about it my little Omega knows I will not let that stop me. We all get out of the SUVs and I wonder if we will see any members of White Crescent Pack before tomorrow. My brother-in-law greets me with a hug and I feel him slipping something into my pocket, I don't have to look at it to know what it is. Harvard greets Penelope as Jane greets me, before I introduce both of them to my brother and his men. Will you all join us for dinner tonight? Jane asks and Theseus accepts the invitation on behalf of all of us. Alpha Amara Chapter 15 Welcome. Chapter 15 Welcome. Damien. We all walk into the hotel as Harvard tells me that he isn't going to compete this year and that he has faith in me to get far in this competition. He walks me to the registration table, while Jane is talking to Theseus and Apollo and for once Penelope doesn't follow me around. I grab the ledger in which I have to register and to my surprise I see that White Crescent Pack isn't registered yet. I quickly glance at the other registrations and with Harvard not entering and White Crescent Pack not registered yet I see that my calculations have been off quite a bit. It still will make an interesting day tomorrow. But some of the alphas I had expected to compete didn't register their name and I am feeling a bit more confident as I register my name to the ledger. Make sure you come to our room tonight. Harvard whispers next to me. To anyone else it will look as if he is reading the ledger, but the smile on Jane's face tells me she knows exactly what he said to me and I give her a smile as I adjust myself. Harvard chuckles as he sees what I am doing, but I can see he isn't doing much better either. As we walk back to the others Ajax asks me if I had counted the registrations and I tell him how many I counted, some alphas didn't register and White Crescent Pack hasn't registered at all yet. According to the elder at the table, they will be here in the morning. I say, and I see confused looks on everyone's faces. Every time White Crescent Pack has entered, they were here the day before the competition and one of the first packs to register in the ledger. Why this year is different, none of us knows. Something tells me they are doing this on purpose. Amara. Eos had found out that Delia's father would be here and that her former Alpha would be competing, so we had asked her what she wanted to do. Stay home or come with us, and she had looked me in the eyes as she said, I am coming, let's see how he reacts when he sees who my mate is. He will be tripping over his own feet to make up excuses for what he tried to do, and he will try to get me back to my old self, the one that was too afraid to say a word. Well, he will be in for the surprise of his life. Delia has changed for the better, and I know her father and her former Alpha will not like it one bit. Alastor has shown her that the ways of her former Alpha are outdated and more Alphas treat their pack members the way we have done for decades. Delia started her training the day after she moved to our pack, and Alastor takes great joy in teaching her. Dad made reservation in a hotel about half an hour driving from the site the elders use for the competition. He chose that hotel because he knows the owner and he wanted to make sure I wouldn't run into Damien and his chosen mate. We will stay in the owner's other hotel next to the competition site starting tomorrow. Dad introduces us to Michael, the owner, who tells me that he will be moving our bags tomorrow, that way you can concentrate on the competition instead of your luggage. He says. During dinner I see a few elders walk in and Dad tells me they will be staying here for the duration of the competition. Elder Ezra makes his way over to our table as the others sit down at a table of their own. Alpha Amara, here is the ledger, so you can sign in who will be competing. You might want to know that Damien from Dark Mountain Pack was curious as to why White Crescent Pack hadn't registered yet, but he got a rather vague answer, and just so you know, he is the only one from Dark Mountain Pack to enter. He says as he puts the ledger in front of me. I quickly fill out the information I am required to fill out and then I hand it back to him. A smile appears on his face as he saw that I only wrote down one name. After dinner we head to the backyard of the hotel to practice some more before we head off to bed. Morning comes a little too soon for my liking, but I can't suppress the smile that appears on my face as I think of everything that will be revealed today, and I quickly make my way to the bathroom to get started with this day. I am not sure what I look forward to most, the look on the face of Delia's father or the look on Damien's face. Dad holds onto my arm as I keep playing a game on my phone. It takes my mind of the events ahead of me, and Dad knows I want to concentrate on my fights instead of what Delia's father or Damien might say or do. Eos left for the competition grounds to see which Alphas were present. She would also keep an eye on Damien and the rest of the members from Dark Mountain Pack that came with him, even though I think she is more interested in knowing if Alpha Theseus brought his Deltas along. All four of them have been drooling over his Beta, Gamma, and Deltas. Not that I blame them, as all four of the men look hot, and I have to admit that Alpha Theseus is easy on the eyes as well. But don't tell Eos I said that, because I will never hear the end of it. Theseus. White Crescent Pack still hasn't shown its face, well, not all of them anyway. According to Apollo, he saw the daughter of one of their Deltas walking around, but other than that we have not seen one member of White Crescent Pack, and the only reason we know they will be here is because White Crescent is on the board with one entry. I am talking to Damien, but I don't think he hears a word I am saying as his eyes are on the female that walks onto the terrain on the arm of Alpha Atlas. Blondie is engrossed with something on her phone and Alpha Atlas is making sure she doesn't bump into anything. Damien, what are you staring at? Penelope asks, and as she follows his line of vision Apollo steps a little closer. The moment she sees who Damien is staring at, anger flashes in her eyes, and I have to look at Apollo to make sure I am seeing this correctly. He nods his head to confirm what I saw. Penelope is staring daggers at Blondie, and I am afraid we would get to bury her if looks could kill, but it is as if Blondie is unaware of Penelope's stares. Midas has a smirk on his face as he and Xanthos are talking through the mind link to one another. Most of the people with Alpha Atlas are female, and I wonder where his Beta and Gamma are. Usually one or both of them accompany their Alpha to an event like this. I recognize his mate, Luna Anthea, who is standing next to Blondie looking over her shoulder at the phone, and I wonder what she is doing. The Alpha of Silver River Pack walks onto the terrain with his brother and their mates by their side. I hope I get a chance to ask him why I was unaware of the alliance between our packs or why he and his brother are not competing. I see Blondie put her phone away as they approach Alpha Atlas. They shake hands as I see Blondie turning towards the Alpha, and Linus growls in my head as she hugs him with a huge smile on his face. I don't like her touching another male, just like Linus doesn't like it. A hand on my arm pulls me from my thoughts and I turn to be faced with a rather pissed off Penelope standing next to me. Who is she? She hisses, and I wonder if she is pissed at Damien for staring at Blondie, if she is pissed at me for staring at Blondie, or maybe she is pissed at both of us for staring at a gorgeous female that is not her. Before I can answer her, Elder Ezra walks onto the stage and everyone's attention is drawn to him as my eyes are still glued to Blondie. She turns her head my way as she finally feels my eyes on her. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this annual Alpha Bloodline competition. I want to thank those that have entered the competition, and I want to thank those that have come along for support of the competitors. He says before he goes over the rules for this first round, and I see a smirk appear on Blondie's face as he explains what it means when your name gets drawn first. Xanthos and I had talked about this being a bit unfair after the first round. If you know your opponent is weaker in half shift, you can use that to your advantage, and that goes for every form. We both think that some will have their pack members check out the other games and write down everyone's weaker form. There was one thing Xanthos and I agreed upon: Damien is weak in any form. I know, it is not nice to say that about my baby brother, but it is unfortunately the truth when it comes to Damien. He is just too thick-headed to see it himself, and Penelope's praise is not doing him any good either. I couldn't chance our bet anymore, or I would change it to being dropped in round 1 with at least one knockout. Alpha Amara Chapter 16 First Fight. Chapter 16 First Fight. Amara. I felt his eyes on me the moment we walked in, and I wanted to yell at him for rejecting me. I wanted to yell at him for choosing that bitch over me. Minerva was on edge immediately, and she only seemed to calm down when we felt that Theseus was also looking at us. Mom standing right next to me was a tremendous help, and Dad on my other side still holding my arm was enough to calm us down. I hear Dad talking to Mofi, the guy I beat into the infirmary when I was 7, and I quickly put my phone away. I hug him as I ask him why he didn't enter the competition, because I like to see my pup get born. He answers teasingly as I stare from him to Brielle, and I hug her as I congratulate both of them. You will make great parents, just know that if it is a girl she can come to me if you give her grab. I say to Mofi. Just as he wants to say something, Elder Ezra takes the stage, and I take the opportunity to look at Alpha Theseus, but I look away the moment I see that Damien's mate is standing next to him. She is the last person I want to see, no scratch that. She is the second last person, as Damien is the last person I want to see. Everyone is listening as Elder Ezra explains the rules once more. We have decided to make a small adjustment in our rules. Our scoreboard during the first round will only show the name of a pack and a number, and you will not know who you are competing against until you step into the ring. Each of you will be given an envelope with the number that corresponds to your name in the ledger. We thought this might make things a bit more interesting, and it is a test. If it isn't working, we will drop it from the rules next year. After that, he tells us to head to our rooms to change. An elder steps in front of us with the envelope in his hand, and Alastair is quick to take it from him, making sure that no one knows that I am the one competing. Michael made sure we had a suite on the top floor of the hotel, and we have our own elevator bringing us to it. There are two more suites like ours on the top floor, and I know that the one on the other side of the hotel was booked by Alpha Theseus. As I walk out of the elevator, I see that Michael kept his promise. Our luggage is already here, and I quickly change into my outfit. Delia helped me with my outfit as I still hadn't found what I had been looking for. After she saw me play Capture the Flag, she knew exactly what I needed to wear. One of our Omegas had helped her with the design, and when Delia had told her what fabric to use, she had just nodded her head. Neither one of them had been willing to tell me what it looked like or what fabric was being used, and when I saw it the first time I immediately wanted to object to it, but Delia convinced me to try it on before objecting to it. Once I had it on, I knew they made the right decision and I was not afraid to tell them. I walk into the living room of our suite when Alastair starts whistling, earning him a smack on his head from both Mom and Delia. Eos hands me a long cardigan to hide my outfit and everyone has a smirk on their face as Dad hands me the envelope. The number doesn't surprise me as I am the only one in our bloodline that will be competing, but to make it more difficult for everyone to know which one of us will be entering the ring, both Dad and Alastair are wearing their battle gear. Theseus. I finally understand why everyone was told to go change. This has got to be the most boring thing I have ever witnessed, and I can tell that my men are bored as well. Damian left Penelope behind as he went to our suite to get changed, but Midas had noticed that Jane had followed close behind him. Penelope is talking to her brother, Harver, and she doesn't seem to realize that her mate and her brother's mate are both unaccounted for. Maybe I should have entered. How much longer do we have to listen to this? Harver says as he looks at me. Ajax asks him what he means and Harver tells him that normally he wouldn't be here for this as he would be in his room getting into his battle gear, making me realize once more that the elders thought this through very carefully. The competitors don't have to be here to hear who they will be fighting against, giving them the change to focus on their fights. Damian will be fighting in the third and the second to last match. His opponent in the first match is a young alpha from up north and his opponent in his second match will be. I am looking at the scoreboard to see who still needs a second match. Fuck, he has to go up against White Crescent Pack. Apollo says through the mind link and I have come to the same conclusion, but White Crescent Pack is not in any match before that. Meaning whoever is competing will have to fight two matches in a row. White Crescent Pack will be fighting Damian in their first match and Hollow Moon Pack in their second match, but there is only a three listed behind the pack's name. We know that Alpha Cryus and both his sons are competing and it would be logical for Alpha Cryus to have been given the number one, leaving his youngest son as number three. Has anyone ever seen Alpha Atlas or his son train? Xanthos asks, but none of us have ever seen any of them train. At least not other than the Capture the Flag training we have watched over the past 3 weeks, and my mind wanders back to the day I saw Blondie take off her jacket. We know they have the strongest warriors in their pack and we have seen that every warrior that played Capture the Flag is very fast, but she is faster than all of them. If Alpha Atlas is half as fast as she is, then Damian doesn't stand a chance against him, and the same goes for his son. Damian. I step into our private elevator to go upstairs to change into my battle gear, and as I turn around I see Jane slip into the elevator with me. Her hands are all over me before I can say anything, not that I am going to stop her, and Jane knows that I won't stop her. We stumble into my suite as we exit the elevator, and I am glad it is a private elevator, because I already took her in the elevator up against the wall. Jane bends down to get something from her purse and I slam my cock back into her, knowing she is ready for round two. Half an hour later she hands me the item I ask for and she wishes me luck in the competition before she leaves our suite. I shower quickly to get rid of Jane's scent and get dressed into my battle gear before I head down again to be met by Theseus as the elevator opens on the ground floor. I hope you are ready for this. My brother says as he points at the board to my left, my eyes travel up and down to find my name in the third match. I know this alpha and I am confident I can handle him. So with a smirk on my face I scan the board once again. Fuck. I mutter as soon as I see the I have to fight White Crescent Pack. I look at Theseus to see an expressionless face and even Midas' face is unreadable. I just hope that Alpha Atlas is no longer as strong as he once was according to my father, because if he is still the same I don't stand a change. If I am lucky it will be his son that entered, because without him being the alpha he will be in the same league as I am, and I did learn a few things from watching Ajax and Xanthos. Not that I trained as much as they all think, I am of an alpha bloodline and that means I am stronger than most. My first fight is on one of the fields to the side of the main arena and I see Alpha Atlas and his family on the bleachers of the main arena, Looks like he doesn't want to know how I fight. I watch as my opponent steps onto the field and I nearly laugh as I look the alpha up and down. He is around 6'1 to my 6'3 and I am broader all around than he is. He looks a little out of place here as he takes two steps forward. The referee tells us he has the right to determine our form and that I am not allowed to shift into another form. A whistle sounds to indicate the start of the match and for a few moments we are circling one another, until I have had enough and lunge at him. He dodges me with ease and that pisses me off, making me lunge at him again and again for a few minutes. As I turn myself towards him I see Theseus shake his head from the corner of my eye and I can hear his voice in my head to remind me that I can't let my fighting get controlled by anger. Why doesn't he just shut up? I am fighting this alpha, not him. I look at the alpha in front of me and it almost looks like he is bored with this. I ready myself to lunge at him again and as I push of the ground he crouches down a little, making me come in too high. He grabs my ankle to pull me to the ground, before he jumps on my back and as his arm glides around my neck I know I only have one option left. I try tap out quickly because it will mean he gets fewer points, but I am unlucky as he manages to keep me from tapping out and as I scramble to my feet once I regain consciousness I see a huge smirk on his face. Xanthos and Midas shake their heads as they watch me walk up to them. I told you not to let your anger lead you. If you had kept your cool you would have had a chance to win this. Apollo grumbles. Alpha Amara Chapter 17 Alpha. Chapter 17 Alpha. Amara. Delia is walking in between me and Alastor as we make our way to the main arena. Her former alpha will have his first match in the main arena and I want to see him fight. I also want him and her father to see Delia with us and I know they will see fairly quickly that she is marked. Melia had suggested she wear her hair up to make her mark visible for everyone and Alastor had chuckled as Eos told her she would take pictures of her father as a reminder. I can feel the anxiety radiate from Delia and I put my hand on her lower back for support. One of the warriors is the first one to spot us and his eyes widen as he looks between Delia and Alastor. His alpha sees him staring at us and he slowly turns around. He also seems in shock at the sight of Delia and he nudges her father to get his attention. The moment he turns around I know he is going to start trouble. I link Eos and Rhea to make sure they are there to protect Delia if the need arises. Delia, put your hair down and go find your mother to change into something more suited for an unmated female. Her father growls. Father. She slightly bows her head to the alpha, but other than that she keeps standing up straight and I feel really proud of her. I see her mother staring at Delia in horror and her father and former alpha both growl at her, show some respect, Delia. A male says and from the looks of him I would say he is the alpha's son. That also makes him the male her father chose for Delia and I hear Alastor growl as the male tries to reach for her. Don't you dare touch my mate. Alastor growls and I see all of them looking at Delia's neck, which she is more than willing to show to them. Alpha Cryus looks mad as hell and the other males don't look any better, but I see her mother hide a smile. I know I shouldn't do this, but I can't help myself as I look at the female and say, Delia, this must be your mother. You look as beautiful as she does. Delia introduces me to her mother, but she is careful not to use my title as most don't know that I actually took over from my father. I compliment her on raising an amazing daughter and I can see in her eyes that she is proud of Delia, happy to see her mated to her fated mate. Alpha Cryus orders his pack members to take their seats as his fight is about to start and we sit down across from his pack, just so I can keep an eye on her mother. If anyone tries to take their anger out on her I will rip them a second asshole. Dad and I are focused on the fight in the main arena, while Ione is watching Damian's fight on one of the side fields and a smirk appears on my face as she give us a live report on the match. I had to choose which match I wanted to witness myself as both my opponents had their first match at the same time. Alpha Cryus is good and he gets the upper hand a few times, but his opponent is calmer and more collected than he is. I see at the moment Alpha Cryus makes a mistake and his opponent takes full advantage of his error, knocking him out in a menacing blow. We all cheer for the winner, and Delia's father is staring daggers at us as Alphacry's son drags his father from the arena. I now know his weakness for when I have to fight him. Depending on how long the matches last, I have an hour to an hour and a half before my first fight. Ione joins us just before Damien and the rest of Dark Mountain Pack walk into the arena. I already know he was knocked out during his first match, and his second will end in a knockout as well, meaning he is out of the competition before this day is over. I can feel his eyes on me the entire time as we watch the matches in the main arena, and it tells me he doesn't notice any of the fights in front of us. I thought it would make me feel uncomfortable as it usually does when males stare at me like that, but for some reason I don't feel creeped out by it. Theseus. I scolded Damien for letting his anger get the best of him during his fight, and I tell him he better keep his anger in check when he faces Alpha Atlas or his son, because I know they will take him out in seconds. I doubt my words registered in that brain of his, and I truly believe that he will be out of the competition before the day is over. My eyes find her the moment we walk into the arena, and I see Alphacryus and his pack members stare daggers at them. What the fuck did they do to Hollow Moon Pack? Ajax asks, but we have no clue as we were not here for his first match. It takes Apollo only a few minutes before he comes back with answers. The female in between Blondie and Alpha Atlas' son, Alastor, is the daughter of Alphacryus Beta, and she is mated to Alastor, but no one knows how they found one another. I have been to Hollow Moon Pack once and I never want to go there again. They treat their females as trash. They are not allowed to look the high-ranking members in the eye, and they are to stay quiet unless they are asked a question. Apollo also found out her name is Delia, and as I watch Blondie I see that Delia has her hair up, showing everyone the mark on her neck. I chuckle at the sight of her father. He really hates that she is showing everyone her mark and she is talking with Blondie most of the time. Could Blondie be Alpha Atlas' daughter? I ask no one in particular, and I don't expect anyone to answer me either. With the way she is talking to Delia and the way she acts towards Alastor, I would say you are probably right. Xanthos responds. I hear the sounds of the matches, but I don't see any of it as my eyes are glued on Blondie, and it irks me that she doesn't look at me once. She doesn't even look at me to make me stop staring, and I indulge myself by looking her over from top to bottom. Like her father and brother, she is dressed in battle gear. It looks as if it was tailor-made for her and it fits her like a glove. I can't see what the top is like as she is wearing a long cardigan that hides the rest of her outfit from sight. Apollo nudges my shoulder to pull my attention away from Blondie, yet we still don't know her name. Damien gets up from his seat as his name gets announced for the next match, and we all turn our heads towards White Crescent Pack to see Alpha Atlas, Alastor, and Blondie get up from their seats. I turn back to Damien to give him some last advice when I see a look of horror on his face. Fuck, you have got to be kidding me. I hear Maida say, and as I turn around I see Blondie steps into the main arena with a deadly glare in her eyes. It is aimed at Damien, and I wonder what the hell he ever did to her for her to give him that look. From the corner of my eye I see Ajax holding onto Penelope, and through the mind link I ask him what that is about. She was backing away the moment Blondie stepped into the arena. I have a feeling she knows why Blondie is giving Damien a deadly glare. He replies. Opponent of Damien from Dark Mountain Pack is from White Crescent Pack, Alpha Amarok. Elder Ezra announces, and you can hear a pin drop in the arena. The look in her eyes doesn't change and she doesn't look away from Damien as she gets into position. Penelope looks terrified as Damien looks at her over his shoulder, and I get this unsettling feeling that both of them know why Amara has a murderous look in her eyes. The whistle sounds as Damien turns back towards Amara, and I know he will be knocked out of the competition by her. Make sure Penelope doesn't go anywhere, and once this match is over I want Damien and Penelope in our suite. Xanthos and Ajax will watch them until I get up there. I want answers from those two, and I will get them, one way or the other. I say through the mind link as I let my eyes wander to Harvor. The expression on his face and that of his mate tells me that they are also aware of something that I am not, and it is not sitting well with me. Looks like Harvor knows something as well. His eyes keep moving from Alpha Amara to Penelope, and even Jane looks nervous. Xanthos informs me. Linus is pacing in my head and he tells me if he gets his hands on Damian he will beat him to a pulp. I tell Linus to calm down and just watch the match that is about to start, which he reluctantly does. Making me feel a little bit more at ease. Penelope is seated between Ajax and Xanthos as the second whistle sounds and Damian starts circling Amara, but she doesn't move. I don't expect her to as I know she is more than capable of taking him down and I almost feel sorry for my baby brother. Damian starts taunting her as she still hasn't moved a muscle, what are you waiting for? A written invitation. He says when Midas tells me to look at one of the members of White Crescent Pack through the mind link and I see one of the females concentrating on her tablet instead of the match. What do you think that is about? Apollo asks me. But he knows I don't have a clue either. Alpha Amara Chapter 18 Sweet Revenge. Chapter 18 Sweet Revenge. Damian. My eyes move to the members of White Crescent Pack the moment my match is announced and I see Alpha Atlas and his son get up with my former mate. My jaw drops the moment she steps into the arena and I know she will do her best to take me down. My former mate is the daughter of Alpha Atlas and I rejected her for Penelope. My wolf is still pissed at me for rejecting her and I know if I had to depend on him during this match he would hang me out to dry, he would probably help her in kicking my ass. Penelope, Harver, and Jane are the only ones that know I rejected her, but none of us knew she was from an alpha bloodline. Theseus is going to kill me if he ever finds out that she was my fated mate and there will be nothing left of me for anyone to find if that ever happens. I quickly look at Penelope to see a horrified look on her face, she knows this female will do everything she can to get her revenge on me. Ajax is holding on to Penelope and I know they suspect something, but I doubt they have any idea what happened between me and this female. I nearly lose my shit when I hear Elder Ezra announce her as Alpha Amara and my wolf is actually laughing his ass off in my head, he really thinks this is funny. Of course it is funny. You thought you made an upgrade with Penelope, but it looks like you let the grand prize slip away. He replies. She just stares at me with a murderous look, but doesn't move as I circle her a few times and I start taunting her as she is unwilling to make the first move. It doesn't do anything other than make me feel on edge and I think about the best move to make before I get agitated again. It was my downfall during my first match and I have no intention on losing this match, especially not to a female. My father made it clear over the years that a female isn't born to become a warrior, a female is born to bear pups and to satisfy her mate. Amara. I nearly burst out in laughter when Damian saw me step into the arena and the look on his face when I was announced as Alpha Amara has Minerva in stitches. His taunts don't do anything for me and from the corner of my eye I see Theseus stare between me and Damian. Damian apparently learned from his first match as he is controlling his anger, but I know how I am going to push him over the edge. First I have to make him believe I am getting impatient with this match and I lunge at him before he realizes what I am about to do. He staggers as my fist collides with his face and I see a shocked look on his face, what? Didn't think a Barbie doll could punch you in the face. I yell at him. He looks at me dumbfounded as I get back into position, didn't you call me a Barbie doll when you rejected me for that? I yell as I point at his mate. Theseus looks murderous at Damian as Ajax holds onto Damian's mate with a murderous look in his eyes and I know there will be hell to pay for both of them. Damian lunges himself at me, but just before he reaches me I step to the side and as I turn to my left I let my fist collide with his face again. Damian crashes to the ground. But I know I didn't knock him out and I have no intention of doing so for a little while longer. We repeat this dance quite a few times and every time he gets back up I see the rage in his eyes more clearly. Once I realize he is filled with rage I signal Eos to do as we planned, just before I jump up in the air to slam my fist down in his face with full force. I already know he is out cold before he hits the ground and a few seconds later I am announced the winner of our match. I turn to look at Alpha Crius and I give him a sweet smile before I return to my seat as we have to wait for all matches to end, before we can start our match. Xanthos walks into the arena and unceremoniously he tosses Damian over his shoulder, Ajax follows behind him while dragging Damian's mate with him. People around us start mumbling as they are looking at their phones, and Eos gives me a huge grin before I sit down next to Delia. A thunderous roar is heard from across the arena, and I don't have to look up to know who it is. I have no doubt Theseus just saw the footage of my rejection. Like Eos suspected, he is not amused by Damian's actions, and if he ever had doubts about Damian's mate, he now has answers. Delia wraps an arm around my shoulder as she tells me how impressed she is with me. One knockout to go and you will have the day off tomorrow. She says as her eyes are glued on her father, and I know she hopes I will knock out Alpha Crius as well, but I also know she doubts I can take him. Mom is sitting on my other side as I see Apollo and Midas holding onto Theseus. He really is outraged with Damian, and I know it will take a while before he can control his wolf from taking Damian down. My next match gets announced and his eyes lock with mine as I step back into the arena. I give him a small smile and I see his wolf retreat, making it possible for Theseus to take back control. Alpha Crius is making fun of my rejection, but instead of rattling my cage, it makes me more focused on winning this match, and I will have fun taking this idiot down. Theseus. What did she just say? Apollo yells through our mind link, and none of us reply to him as we are in shock. Damian rejected her for Penelope. Has he lost his fucking mind? Midas growls and Linus chuckles as she lands a blow to Damian's face. She lets him get up every single time, only to knock him down again, and I can tell that she is playing with him. I see him lose his temper, and the moment it registers I see Amara jump up in the air, and I know it is all over for Damian. Xanthus, grab that idiot and get him to our suite. Don't bother with a doctor, his wolf can heal him if he wants. As Xanthus walks out of the arena I hear every phone around me ding, and I grab my phone to see what it is we all received. I watch the footage on my phone and my heart sinks as I see how Damian rejected Amara. Linus releases a thunderous roar before I can stop him. Apollo and Midas hold onto me to make sure that Linus doesn't take over, but it is Amara that calms Linus down enough for me to stay in control. Amara looks almost bored as Alpha Crius keeps bringing up her rejection, and Linus is front and center to watch her take this idiot down. How long do you give Alpha Crius? Midas asks as we look at Amara, and Apollo hopes she will knock him out faster than she did with Damian. I just hope she knocks him out. I don't care how long it will take her, and I hope she shows him every corner of the arena. Alpha Crius is getting agitated with her lack of response, and I see a huge smile on her father's face. He has every right to be proud of his daughter. She is showing every alpha that she is the better alpha of the two. I wonder why we were never informed that Alpha Atlas stepped down, and Linus points out he no longer is the alpha. What has you smiling? Midas asks, and when I tell him it will take some time for me to get used to Atlas not being alpha anymore. He chuckles as he knows I have a point there, and I will probably mess up the first few times I mention Atlas. Amara doesn't give Alpha Crius much time before she knocks him out in the same style she used on Damian, and I believe it was the fastest match of the day. Apollo and Midas are cheering as she steps away from Alpha Crius, and I see both his sons walking into the arena to get their father. I make my way around the arena, and the moment I see her brother I draw his attention to me. Alastor, I would like to talk to your sister. Can you ask her to call me? I need to find a few answers first, but if she is willing I would like to see her tomorrow. I say as I hand him my business card with my private number on the back. I will tell her, but I am not sure if she will give you the time. You might find out there is a lot you are not aware of, whether it was intentional or not. He says as he takes my card, and I stare at him as he walks back to Amara. What do you think that was about? Apollo asks me. Apollo knows I have no answer for him, but I intend to find a few answers before dinner, and I make my way back to the hotel with Apollo and Midas on my heels. Harvard and Jane disappeared during Damian's match, and I doubt we will see them anytime soon. I step out of the elevator to see Xanthus pacing in the hallway. He looks murderous as his head snaps towards us, and I know he wants to rip Damian a second asshole. Just like the rest of us, and maybe I will give him the chance to just do that. Midas walks into the small kitchen our suite has, and soon I smell the scent of coffee. Midas always knows what I need, and right now I really need some coffee to take my mind off Damien. Penelope is with Damien and Ajax is standing guard in front of their door. He also took both their phones, so Penelope doesn't know that we are aware of what they did. Xanthos says. We are on our second coffee when Damien and Penelope finally get out of their bedroom, and Damien knows he is in deep shit as he looks at me. Ajax pushes Penelope onto the couch and Damien sits down next to her, before I have to tell him to sit down. Theseus. Damien starts, but I cut him off by raising my hand. Damien, I doubt there is anything you can say that will justify what you did to Alpha Amarok, and even if you think of something, I doubt I want to hear it. Just to let you know, everyone is aware of how you rejected her. I say. Alpha Amarok Chapter 19 Punishment. Chapter 19 Punishment. Amarok. I see Alastor talking to Theseus and he accepts what looks like a business card from him. Alastor walks towards me as Theseus heads towards the hotel, and I wish I could be a fly on the wall in that suite. I would like to hear what kind of an excuse Damien will come up with. Some of the alphas come over to congratulate me on both my wins, and they tell me that Damien was a fool when he rejected me. There are others that come over for the same reasons, and I spend the next 15 minutes or so talking to numerous people. Alastor hands me Theseus' business card with the request to call him. He wants to talk to you, and I have a feeling there is a lot he is unaware of. Maybe you should give him the chance to ask you questions and to tell you what he knows, whether it is about his father or his baby brother. Alastor says. I let his words sink in as Dad wraps an arm around my shoulder and tells me how proud he is of me. You put on one hell of a show, it wouldn't surprise me if you will beat a few more alphas. He says as we pass three alphas that also broke their alliance with us. Eos and Rhea laugh out loud as Delia tries to hide her laughter by burying her face in Alastor's chest. Mom just looks at the alphas with a smirk on her face as she slightly bows her head at their lunas. We head back up to our suite as I need a shower before we are going down again for dinner. Everyone disappears into their bedrooms to get ready for dinner, and I tell Ione about Theseus' request as I get my outfit for tonight out of the closet. I think Alastor might be right. I doubt his father would have told him there is no more alliance, or if he did, why it was torn up. Former Alpha Damon was an asshole according to my father. He always made sure everyone knew how he felt about fated mates, and that males that chose their fated mate over a chosen mate were idiots. He really believed that a fated mate would weaken a male instead of strengthening him. Ione says. I guess I should give him the benefit of the doubt. From what I have seen, he is nothing like his father, and maybe we can discuss a new alliance between our packs. Maybe we can even discuss their border patrols, because I still don't understand how those work on their end. Once I am out of the shower, I get dressed, I put my hair in an updo with braids, and I put on some mascara and a touch of eyeshadow. Mom and Delia are talking about Theseus' request in the living room, and both of them agree that I should give him a chance to learn the whole truth. Theseus. Damien tries to explain to me why he rejected Amarok, but I quickly catch him on some lies as his story is slightly different from 5 years ago, and I decide to let him dig his own grave. Theseus, when I met her, she was just a meek female, she barely spoke to me. Unlike Penelope, she was more concerned about how she looked to others. I saw her flirting with unmated males all night, and I didn't want to risk going through the pain of betrayal. He says. I look from him to Penelope, only to let my eyes drift back to him, and I look him dead in the eye as I say, Amarok doesn't strike me as a female that is preoccupied with her looks, unlike another female I know. She has been training hard ever since the invitation arrived, unlike a certain male I know. As to the subject of betrayal, I think she would have been on the receiving end instead of you, just like the two of you cheat on one another. I say, and I see both of them pale. I never knew for sure if they cheated, but their facial expression says it all. Instead of having to face them both every single day, I come up with the best way to punish them both and to resolve an issue that is becoming a problem. Damien, you better ask Penelope's father to accept you into his pack, as I no longer want either of you to be part of mine. You can come to visit our parents, But only after you get my permission, and if you ever decide to come visit without my permission, you will be thrown into the dungeons for a week. Am I making myself clear? I look at both of them and I sigh in relief as they both nod their heads. What about Joseph? Penelope asks, and I act as if I misunderstood her question. Penelope, he is your son. Of course he will be going with you and Damien. I reply, but I know that that is not what she meant by her question, and it doesn't take long before Damien points out that Joseph is the heir to the pack. Damien, I would much rather hand over the pack to Alastor of White Crescent Pack than have you ruin it by controlling every decision Joseph makes. Hell, I might just hand it over to Amaroth for that matter, at least one of them will be a better alpha than Joseph. I growl. Neil and Josh had stepped out of the kitchen the moment Damien had said his first word to me, and they had listened to the entire conversation. Josh, I want you and Neil to take them to Penelope's father. Make sure you stay outside their gate and repeat what happened here today. If he doesn't accept them into his pack, you call me with the phone on speaker and I will banish them from my pack, turning them rogue. If he does accept them, you head back home and have the Omegas pack their belongings, except anything that belongs to Dark Mountain Pack. Once everything is packed, arrange for a moving company to pick everything up and have it delivered to their new pack. My instructions are clear, and I know Josh and Neil will follow them to the letter. Apollo had left the room to pack their bags, and as he drops them in front of Damien and Penelope, it seems he finally understands. Theseus, father will never agree with this. He will demand you bring us back. Damien says, and I know I will have a huge fight ahead of me with our father, but I can handle that. If father wants to put up a fight, I will give him a choice. Either he accepts my decision or he can join you at your new pack. I say. Penelope grabs her bag to open it, and it only takes her a moment to realize her phone is not in there. Sorry, Penelope. Your phone belongs to the pack, just like Damien's phone. Maida says, and I have to suppress a smile as I see shock on her face. The nanny we hired through the hotel walks in with Joseph, and Ajax quickly tells him that they are going to visit his other grandparents, before Penelope can take advantage of the fact that there is a 4-year-old present. Joseph is jumping up and down, happy to go see his grandparents. They don't need to warn anyone of what just happened in here and have Josh and Neil end up in an ambush. Maida says through our mind link. Neil grabs their bags as Josh walks to their own room to get his own bag and that of Neil. See you in a few days, Alpha. Josh says before they walk out of the door. Midas hands me another coffee as Ajax announces he is going to take a shower before dinner, and Apollo and Midas follow him quickly. Xanthos just finished his third coffee as I am sipping on mine. What are you going to do about Alpha Amaroth? He asks before he puts his mug down. I assumed she needed some time to think about talking to me, so I approached Alastor with the request to ask her to call me to make an appointment. I want to know if there is more we are unaware of and if she can shed some light on our alliance. I tell him before we both get up to get ready for dinner. My phone starts ringing as we walk towards our rooms, and I see an unknown caller ID. This is Alpha Theseus. I answer the call. Alpha Amaroth, I had not expected you to call me this soon. I hope that is a good thing for me and my request. I say. Xanthos' brows shoot up as he listens to me. Yes, tomorrow morning will be fine. Should I ask the reception for a meeting room? I listen to her response, and for a moment I am at a loss for words. Sure, I'll be there. Yes, I will bring them along if you would like. Tomorrow at 11 it is. Have nice evening, Alpha Amaroth. Apollo, Ajax, and Midas are staring at me, and Xanthos asks me what she said. She wants us all to meet her in their suite. Her beta, gamma, deltas, and family will be there as well. She didn't even ask about Damien, maybe she guessed I wasn't too pleased with him. I explain. We are seated at our table when Amaroth walks in with her mother next to her. Alastor says something to her which makes her turn around, and I want to growl at every male that looks at her. I know everyone saw her during her matches in her form-fitting outfit, but this is different. She is wearing a burgundy jumpsuit with flared pants, The top is in the form of a halter top and closes with a button at the nape of her neck. Her back is bare to just above her ass and her tattoos are very visible in this outfit, more so than during her matches. Linus is drooling over the way she looks in my head and I have to turn a little to get comfortable again. Alpha Amara Chapter 20 All Eyes. Chapter 20 All Eyes. Amara. My family is used to the outfits I wear, but Dad did object a little when he saw my bare back and Mom told him to keep his eyes on the other Alphas and their families. Our daughter at least has taste when it comes to her outfits, I can guarantee you some will wear more revealing outfits. Dad knows that Mom is right about that and I hear a few growls as Alastair brings up the outfit Damien's mate was wearing. It was a tight-fitting little dress and it was way too short in my opinion. Delia pulls the hem of her dress all the way up and I burst out in laughter as she bends over in front of Alastair, who mutters fuck as he looks at his mate. Dad shakes his head as he teasingly says, "Behave yourself, daughter." Delia looks at him as she pulls her dress down, she smiles sweetly at him before she says, "I just mooned my mate." Mom turns away from Dad and Delia as she tries really hard to keep her laughter in, but as you can guess she fails miserably. After I discuss Theseus' request once more with everyone I decide to put the man out of his misery, I walk into the bedroom I share with Ione as I dial the number from his card, "Hello, Alpha Theseus. This is Alpha Amara." I listen as he expresses that he is surprised to hear from me this fast. "I talked to my family about your request and I am willing to meet with you tomorrow." I tell him I want to meet him and his men in my suite with the rest of my pack members. He reacts surprised to my request to meet in my suite and I suppress a smile at his tone. I feel the eyes of every unmated male on my back as I turn to face Alastair. He holds his hands up in surrender because he knows I don't like the remark he made. Getting a second chance mate happens, but it can take a long time before you find them and I have not given up hope yet. I hear low growls come from a table further to the back and as I turn towards our table I see Theseus and his men staring at some of the unmated males to show them they are not appreciative of the stares they give me. Dad nods his head at them with a smile on his face and Mom bows her head slightly towards them. Normally most of us would be attending a full moon party tonight, because as of midnight we will be able to find our fated mate for the next 3 days and many packs hold parties to help their pack members to find their fated mate. We don't have a party tonight as most have to get up early again for the matches of tomorrow. Many unmated males pay our table a visit and nearly each of them asks if I will be staying until after midnight, but Delia is quick to shoot them down every single time. The first time she asks me through the mind link if she could answer and I had a feeling I understood why she wanted to do it, so I gave her my permission. Every time she tells an alpha, beta, or gamma alpha Amara doesn't have time, she needs to rest to kick all of your asses in the next few days. I hear growls coming from the table behind me and I know exactly which pack is seated there. Rhea tells me Theseus and his men laugh every time Delia speaks up, but that they also stare down Alpha Crius and his pack members. Delia has noticed too that they are the reason Alpha Crius or her father doesn't comment and she nods her head in thanks at Ajax. Alastair has even gotten up to thank them in person and the entire room goes quiet the moment he says, "See you tomorrow morning, Alpha Theseus." He walks back to our table as we are all getting ready to leave and a lot of males and females stare between both tables. "If looks could kill, Alpha." I hear Ione say in my head and I roll my eyes at her, "This is not something I wanted." Now all eyes will be on me during the entire competition, even more than they already would have been. Now everyone would want to see what Alastair's comment had been about. I know that rumors will be flying before breakfast and I can't wait to hear all of them, not. A lot of the females that came with their fathers and brothers had been ogling Theseus and his men all day, but I doubt any of them had noticed it and if they did they hadn't shown it. Theseus. Linus growls in my head as the first unmated male finds the courage to walk up to Alpha Amara's table and I have to fight him to keep his growls in, which I am able to do with a lot of talking back and forth. I have no idea what his problem is, but it is getting annoying as hell. The male asks Amara if she will be staying until after midnight and my men and I glare at the moron, but I have to suppress a smile when I hear Delia say, Sorry, but Alpha Amara won't have time to entertain you. She needs her rest to kick some more asses in the next few days. I hear growls coming from her father and Alpha Crius, while Ajax and Xanthos burst out in laughter. Apollo and Midas just stare at the males as to say don't even think about it, and neither gets up to put her back in her place. Every time she speaks up, half of us laugh while the other half glares at her father and Alpha Crius. Alastor comes over to our table to thank us for keeping an eye on his mate's former pack members. I am sure they would have made a scene if it hadn't been for the five of you. He says quietly, but as he walks away he says loud enough for everyone to hear, "See you tomorrow morning, Alpha Theseus." Every conversation in the room comes to a stop and I see a lot of females stare daggers at Amara, while others stare at me and my men. Linus is pressing forward, showing everyone he is not amused by their looks and thank the goddess most have a brain. One female doesn't seem to understand the glare Linus and I give her as she winks at me, before she gets up to walk over to our table. Looks as RK to get going. Ajax says in my head and everyone gets up at once. The female slows down as she is suddenly faced with five huge werewolves. Alpha Theseus, I was hoping you would stay until after midnight. She says with what I guess is supposed to be a seductive smile on her face. Midas looks her up and down, before he turns to me and says, "Used goods." The female's face pales as her father gets up to come to her aid. Alpha Theseus, I do not appreciate your delta to spread lies about my daughter. Her father shouts angrily and I have to agree with him, Midas cannot go around saying something like that just to scare the female away. I turn to Midas to scold him, but the look he gives me tells me he knows something no one else does. Midas, care to explain yourself? I ask him and the small smile that appears on his face doesn't predict anything good. He turns to her father as he says, "This is not a lie, she is no virgin and that is what I meant when I said used goods." Her father demands a more detailed explanation and I realize that when Midas is done he is going to regret that demand. Alpha Amara and her pack members are no longer in the dining room and I wish I could go up to my suite as well, but I am going to be stuck here for at least a few more minutes. "I met your daughter a year ago during a conference we had, you must remember that one, Alpha," he says as he looks at me. It takes me a minute to remember which conference he was talking about and that is when it hits me, this is the female that came on to all of my men. She also took a shot at me and that is when Midas offered himself up, just to get her away from me. He turns back to her father as he starts telling him what happened during that conference and I see him getting angrier the more Midas tells him. When Midas is finally done he has met the demand to give a detailed explanation, but I doubt this is something he wanted to know about his daughter. The female starts sobbing as he grabs her upper arm and drags her from the dining room, his mate, and all his pack members following them out. Midas has a smirk on his face as he stares after them and I know he has something else to say, he asked, "Didn't he?" Midas says. I see a few alphas looking at their daughters and I wonder if any of them ever tried anything with me or my men, just one. But she is mated now, so I doubt she will try anything. Ajax answers my unspoken question and we finally leave all the prying eyes behind. Linus has been restless ever since I got the call from Alpha Amara and I have no idea what to do about his mood.